got a little Guns N' Roses to get us going. It seems appropriate for this segment here, Kyle. You're listening to Special Diction of Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600. I'm Chad LaChance, filling in for Mr. Wickstrom, who's away traveling, and Board Op Kyle's got me with some Guns N' Roses, and that seems appropriate because one of the things I wanted to talk about as we head into fall here is more guns and fishing, let's just say, than Guns N' Roses. But you know, the thing as an angler, I'm the host of Fishful Thinker Television. People think of me as an angler, and I am an angler first and foremost, but there's two kinds of outdoorsmen in the world. There's anglers that like to hunt, and there's hunters that like to fish. And I am for sure a fisherman that likes to hunt. And I heard a saying one time that fish meat is basically a vegetable, which means as a human, I need to consume more meat than just fish. And so what I wanted to talk about a little bit in this segment is take some time to talk about cast and blast opportunities in Colorado. We are at the time of year where the fishing starts getting really good. As we head into September and October, we have some fantastic fishing opportunities. But the problem is, as outdoorsmen, we also have hunting seasons opening. And so on any given day, I don't know what to load in my Tundra. Do I load my shotgun? Do I load my bow or my rifle? Or do I put my fishing tackle in there? And so the obvious answer to me as an outdoorsman is I need to load all of the above in my truck, load some of the big OtterBox coolers in there, and get after them and see what we can fill up the coolers with and bring it home and eat it. I am a hunter-gatherer, make no mistake. So a great opportunity this time of year, one of the first hunting seasons that typically kicks off, is going to be the dove season. And doves happen to congregate in a lot of places on the eastern plains of Colorado that are also just coming around into really good fall fishing. So one of the best combination hunts that I think you can do are combination cast and blast days can be doves paired with maybe some walleye fishing, or even better, some white bass fishing. So maybe you go down to southeast Colorado, down around maybe John Martin Reservoir or Two Buttes, down in that neck of the woods, and you can do some fantastic dove hunting. A lot of the state parks in that general area and also in northeast Colorado have either state wildlife area attached to them or immediately adjacent to them, or you can hunt in the park itself. But shooting doves and collecting a bunch of white bass while you're there is a really good combination. Great way to load the cooler up, and just an excellent combination of meat, you know, to bring home. Both of those are plentiful species. They're delicious to eat, and they're both come around at the same time of year. So when I'm thinking of dove hunting, generally speaking, I'll go catch my fish in the morning and then dove hunt the afternoon, or I'll dove hunt first thing in the morning, get all those birds cleaned up, put them in the cooler, and then go out and catch the fish as the breeze comes up in the afternoon or into the evening. And so just depending on the scenario, but the cast and blast combination of doves and white bass and or walleyes is a really, really good combination and a great way to load the cooler up. Another one that's good along those lines that'll be coming up pretty quick is going to be the teal season, the early teal season. And again, that's going to take place in some of the same locales that you're going to be able to catch white bass and things like that. Really, really good opportunity. And those little ducks are hard to hit, similar to doves. They're small, they're fast, they're hard to hit. They require some practice, but they're also delicious. So if you do have that opportunity, that's a really good combination that I think the folks should keep in mind as well for a cast and blast. And it just makes for a really fun day, great memories all the way around to do a cast and blast scenario. So that's one that I really like as well. Now, the next season that's going to start opening, and actually they're already opening with the antelope season right now, is the archery seasons. And when we start talking about archery season in Colorado, we start thinking about high country deer. We start thinking about elk. My mind immediately goes off to either brook trout or brown trout. And the reason being is this: places that the really high country, excellent, excellent brookie habitat in a lot of cases. And brookies are one of those fish that in almost every scenario, the more of them you eat, the better off the environment is for it. They're small, they're delicious. They reproduce like mad, which makes them an excellent food source, and they're easy to catch. They're generally willing participants to any basically kind of angling you like to do. So if I'm going to go up and I'm going to maybe hunt mule deer at Timberline, I'm going to look at maybe some of the brookie streams in the meadows headed up there, and I'm going to go to town on those brookies. I'll either carry a little three-piece ultralight pack rod. I carry a little St. Croix Trout Series pack rod, Triumph Series pack rod in a little. It's three piece, ultra light, 5'6". Doesn't weigh anything. Being that they're brook trout, they're extremely willing little suckers. So a little surface popper is a good call. Little tiny spinner, a little Johnson minnow spin, maybe a 16th ounce Johnson minnow spin, a good call. Basically, whatever you like to throw, so long as it's small, you're going to catch some brook trout with it. If you're a fly guy, a multi-piece little three weight or a two weight, real basic little fly selection, no problem. I mean, as basic as, let's say, a bunch of number 14 hare's ears and nothing else, and you're going to catch some of those brookies, you know, and take a bunch of them home, throw them in a cast iron skillet, eat them in camp, a little bit of butter, some herbs, a little bit of lemon juice. They are absolutely delicious, guys. So while you're out deer hunting, maybe the heat of the day when the deer are all bedded and you don't want to be out moving around, that's a fantastic time to go catch some of the brook trout. So that's a really good call. If you're going to be up around maybe North Park area, let's say you're hunting up in North Park or South Park, well, now you're dealing with some brown trout lakes that are significantly step up in terms of the size of the fish you're dealing with. And when you start talking about October, early rifle seasons, or the end of, you know, the second half of the archery season, you're dealing with brown trout that are starting to think spawn, and those fish are fired up. The males get a big kipe on their jaws, their colors get beautiful. Maybe you're not going to eat so many of those. Maybe eat a couple of them. The Parks and Wildlife stocks a lot of them for a reason, but they are absolutely delicious. They are great fighters. They're great sport fish all the way around, and they generally have a don't play well with others attitude in fall, which is one of my favorite things about them. Big aggressive baits, really aggressive fishing is a really excellent way to catch them. In that case, a big streamer fly, big nasty streamer fly, or a rat fly, or a big oversized dry fly, be a really good call. A pointer, like a jerkbait, a hard jerkbait, like a pointer of some sort, or a lipless crankbait typified by a rattle trap or a war pig, really good ways to catch them if you're a spin fishing guy. So that can be a really good deal. But the mix and match of the deer or antelope or maybe even elk in North Park or South Park and some of the brown trouts can be an excellent combination as well. And don't forget the rainbows, because, yeah, the browns get all the headlines this time of year, because they're spawning and they get really nice colors and really aggressive and all that. But keep in mind that the rainbows that live in the same water are coming in to feed on the eggs from those brown trout. So now you've got rainbows available to you. So if you want to go, you know, catch some of those as well, the difference being is take your bait sizes down a little bit, be a little bit less aggressive, fish underneath the browns, and lo and behold, you can catch rainbows. We spend time up in North Park, which, say at North Delaney, which is known as a brown trout lake. Parks and Wildlife uses it as a stocking lake to grow, or brood lake to grow all of the brown trout they stock around the state. So there's a tremendous number of browns in there, but the rainbows are the unsung heroes of the lake. They actually get considerably bigger than the browns in there, and they do so by eating all those brown trout eggs. So if you take a tube jig or an egg fly and you put it on the bottom under those browns, you're going to catch some of those rainbows. And you want to get your string pulled, hook up to a 10-pound rainbow in a North or South Park lake, and you're going to know you got one. And that's a really fun deal. But generally, again, that's going to be an egg pattern or something on a fly rod like that. Or in my case with a spinning rod, it's going to be a tube jig that's, again, tight to the bottom. The rainbows are typically going to be oriented more to the bottom, whereas the brown trout will feed much higher in the water column. A big, giant, a floating plug of some sort, you know, like the old school floating Rapala, something like that can be an excellent choice for those big browns as well. But again, you take advantage of the early light, you go hunt, you try to do your stalks, you maybe try to get your game processed, or if you tag out early, you know, you've got everything's handled, it's in camp, well, don't jump in your truck and run home. Spend some time in the field and do some fishing, and you can really have a great time that way. It's a good way to mix and match, makes great memories, put some variety in your photos from your vacation up there. And it's a really good deal. The other thing to throw out is you can camp on a lot of the state wildlife areas. If you're going up there to do some hunting, you can camp, like, for instance, in North Park, right around some of the lakes. You can camp right there at Lake John. And in that case, you can fish right from your camp while you're there. So that's a neat all-around Colorado outdoors day when you do a little hunting and a little fishing in the same day. I think they write country music songs about that, Kyle, but it's a pretty good pretty good way to spend some time. So my advice is go at it with an open mind. Make sure you're legal. Get your small game tag or whatever you might need, or your fishing lights, to make sure you're good. But a combination of hunting and fishing in the same day can make for a fantastic outdoors deal. So I recommend you go do a little classic Colorado cast blast, take it home and cook it on the cast iron. So real quick, I'm going to change gears here before we run into the top of the hour. This first hour sure burned up in a hurry, but I would love to visit with some of you guys. And tomorrow morning, starting early, and this is early, guys, I get it. I know this is mostly a Denver-based station, but at Horsetooth Reservoir at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, the 20th annual Full Moon Open Charity Bass Fishing Tournament is taking place. Starts tonight at 7 p.m., goes till 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Centennial Bass Club has been putting that event on. This is the 20th anniversary of that, so it's got a lot of history. There'll be 100-plus of the state's best bass anglers fishing for 12 hours all night long in Horsetooth. The five biggest bass win. And of course, all those fish are released, so don't anybody panic. Those fish are all released. You get a penalty if you kill them, so you've got to be nice to your fish. But they're fishing for thousands of dollars. Our friends at Peterson Toyota put up the big bass prize. I believe it's $10,000 for the biggest bass in this tournament. If it matches a specific number, prizes will be several thousand dollars for the winner of just for the overall. There's a walleye side pot. But if you're a Colorado angler and you're kind of curious as to what's going on at Horsetooth Reservoir, this is a good opportunity to see all those guys weigh in. I'm the MC of the event. I will drill them on how they caught their fish or where they caught them. I'm not telling you that they'll tell me the truth, but I will drill them in person on how they caught their fish and where they caught their fish. So if you're curious about the lake, you want to come see what the potential is, this is a great event. And all the proceeds from the event go to Larimer County Food Bank. I think they go to Lou Gehrig's diseases organization as well, and a couple others. But it's a long-standing event. There's 50-plus boats in it. Everybody will be walking around kind of in a daze after being on the lake for 12 hours all night and all that. But it's a really good deal, guys. And so if you want to join me there, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, South Bay Pavilion at Horsetooth Reservoir. And with that, we have killed the first hour of this special edition of Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on ESPN Denver 1600.